He's the King of Heavens. But this morning, if you don't know him personally, I urge you to make him King of your heart.
We got the air conditioner in the fellowship hall now.
Amen.
So that's all done. The only thing we're waiting on is the permit. So he's going to be working on that, and the city will come out and inspect it, and we'll have the permit. But I came out and tested it. Everything seemed to be working fine. So we're good on that. So let's all go ahead and stand for offertory number 135, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and fields and He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations fruit. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. Brother Roger.
Just to think such royalty would come the way he came, in a dusty little town, born in such humility upon a bed of hay. Willingly he laid his glory down. Who would think this little child would be the
Angelina, and Jeru, in the absence of Sister Ruthie. Brother Jeru just stepped up, and he's our pianist for today. Amen? That's a blessing. Even though Sister Ruthie's not here, we have our young people that are stepping up and using their talents for God. Amen? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. If you would stand with me to honor the Word of God. Matthew chapter 11. Once you find Matthew chapter 11, I just want you to, just need you to put a bookmark on Matthew chapter 11. Put a little bookmark on Matthew chapter 11. We'll be turning there towards the end of the message, but we'll be back to 1 Samuel chapter 22 for this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I ask you to pray for us as we plan for the up and coming years. We are going to look back at the last 3 years that we've been here in Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. And then we're going to be looking forward to the up and coming years. So you pray for us as we plan, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 22, reading from verses 1 through verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt, I like the outline that's built in here, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. That's a good size of a church. Amen. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David, the title of this message is In the Hole. All the while that David was in the hole. In the hole. Let me ask, Brother Mac, can you lift? Can you please pray for God to bless this message, Brother Mac?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your love and mercy and your grace.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Continuing on our journey into the life of the kings of Israel, we begin a new chapter today, chapter 22. Now, as we're almost there. We're almost at the end of this first book of Samuel. In chapter 22, David finds himself in a cave. As he was escaping from King Saul, the first thing that we learned was that he found himself in the city of Nob, which was the city of priests. And that didn't work out because, obviously, there was an evil man there by the name of Doeg in the previous chapter. And then later on in chapter 21, we learned that from the city of the priests, King David finds himself into the city of the Philistines under King Achish. Under King Achish, David forms an alliance and becomes a servant of this king, as we learned last Sunday. But here in this new chapter, it looks like David had relocated again. He had moved again. But it looks to me that he was running out of places to go to. That he finds himself in the cave Adullam. The first application that I would like to make in continuation from last Sunday is that sometimes in our Christian life, when a Christian gets offended and we begin to move away from the Christian fellowship, one of the tendencies when we are offended, one of the tendencies when we go through trials in our lives is sometimes we tend to withdraw ourselves from the fellowship. How many of you know someone, or maybe you are like that, when you're going through some rough times in your life, when you're going through a hard time, and you're almost at the point of feeling depressed about the things that are happening, and the first reaction, instead of kind of like David, if after you've tried the world and you realize that the world is not really there for you, it's not really down with you, the next the last resort for many people that are going through some problems is that we revert to withdrawing into ourselves and just being alone and kind of like a person that's going through depression. They say that a person that goes through depression does not want any interaction with anybody. They get so withdrawn in and within themselves that they would rather not deal with anyone. Maybe you know someone like that, and you pray for that individual. I tell you, that's a very challenging task to try to deal with someone who has withdrawn from even from their own family. Sometimes, I've came across individuals like that that are suffering, that are going through depression, and the problem with depression is sometimes. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is it's winter time. One of the things that happens during the winter is you also, yes, it's cold. Yes, it's nice because you can have a nice cup of a chai latte or a mocha for the winter, right? Even a warm chocolate. I start thinking about all the good things that Christmas brings. I start thinking about, man, the Christmas tree, the Christmas lights, the neighborhoods that are lit up all throughout the night. I start thinking all the good things, the snow that you're probably going to go to. One of the things about this season are the winter blues. The winter blues. Sadly, during this season, this is one of the seasons where you have the highest rate of suicide. The highest rate of suicide, the people killing themselves. And the early signs of that, there are usually signals, and the first signs that you will see is that withdrawn type of a personality, not wanting to interact with other people, even their own family members. Here we find King David almost reaching that point in his life where instead of going to another city, he went to the city of priests. He went to the city of Philistines. None of those worked out. And so his ultimate decision, or his third decision, was to go into the cave. He was probably thinking, anywhere I go where there are people, there's problems. Surprise. Let me say it again. Anywhere you go where there are people, there will be problems. Amen? If you come to church and you're looking for a perfect church, well, guess what? Churches are made of people. And whenever and wherever people are, there will be problems. But David chooses to be alone. David chose to be in a cave. He's probably tired. He's probably just done with dealing with people. He says, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm going to be in a cave. You know, the problem with that is when you are alone, one, who's going to cheer you up? Who's going to lift you up? Who's going to call you out when you make mistakes, when you're doing wrong? See, withdrawal from fellowship and just wanting to be alone is not the answer to your problems. It's not the answer to the problem. In fact, it could make things worse. Psychologists say, not that I agree with all of them or with the concept of psychology, But psychologists say that the depression is so dangerous because it's a spiral, downhill struggle, trying to get away from that dump. You pray for many individuals that will go through. I mean, as we celebrate the season, as we were happy, as we go shopping and we exchange gifts and things like that, please do not forget that there are many that are suffering through this season. Let's take a look at the verse. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And notice, when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So his parents and his brethren, remember he had, what was it, 7 or 8 brothers? They all went down to the cave with him, and they did not leave their brother and their son alone. You know, the application is clear. In the Bible, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 to 27, the Apostle Paul had admonished the early church that the members should have the same care one for another. He says in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, with the passing of Brother Arlen, it affects all of us. It affects all of us. His family is grieving right now. He's going through a tough time. I hope that you will make an effort to give them a phone call. I don't know if you can go see Brother Arlen. He's probably in the morgue, but you can go see Brother Michael and AJ and Miriam at their house in Chula Vista, that little complex there. Pay him a visit, drop off a pie, drop off. Sometimes, you know what the truth is? When you're dealing with somebody who's going through a rough time, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Did you know that? Sometimes when you're dealing with somebody who's going through depression, sometimes you don't even talk. Just sit there with them. Just sit there with them. Just your presence alone sometimes is good enough. Just the fact that you thought of them, that you made an effort to make your relationship with them known and make them feel that they're a part of our church, I'll tell you, that's good enough. And sometimes that's all that's necessary when you're dealing with people that are in need this season. Amen. Especially one of our church members. Look at verse 2 now. Verse 2. So David goes into this cave Adullam, but his brethren and all his father's house, when they heard it, they went down there to him. See the care that David's family had for him? That's how a family should be in the first place. That's how family ought to be. As a church, that's how we should be. I tell you, we could quarrel and argue over things. Over the color of the carpet. Over what potluck to bring. Amen? We can argue over that, Sister Jackie. You can argue with me against what pie is better than the other. It's all good. I'll fight you for it too. You know? But in times like this, Brother Roger has chosen a very appropriate text in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that in everything there is a season. There is a time. A time to love, a time to hate, a time to live, a time to die, a time to be sorrowful, a time to be joyful. There is a time for every season. As a church family, we ought to do what David's brethren and his father's house had done. Be down there with the Shire family. Amen? Get down into their cave. That's the least thing that you and I can do. If you can call that cave. And if you know someone today that's going through some rough time through the season of this winter and this Christmas season, if you know someone, a family member that you have not talked to for a while, and you know that the individual is alone just this December, I know you know someone. Someone here knows someone who doesn't have a family member this Christmas season, right? Imagine how it was for Brother Arlen. His three kids were not even here. They live out of state. The closest one lives in San Francisco. Imagine that. And how many people do you think are like that this season? Amen? And so as much as I know that doctrinally, and historically, and if I want to be accurate with it, December 25 is not really the birth of Jesus Christ. I know that. But what is wrong with caring for people during this season? Amen? Look at verse 2. Verse 2. Notice who came to David in that cave. The people who came to David, according to the Bible, were everyone that was in distress. Everyone that was in distress. In that word, you'll find the word stress. Distress. Going through stress in life. Going through problems in life. Everyone that came to David were people that were problematic. Secondly, everyone that was in debt. Those that owe someone something and they could never repay it. And then everyone that was discontented came also. And they gathered themselves unto him in that cave, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Wow. Very familiar text that you may have come across and may have heard preaching about. But it's good to revisit the types of people that were attracted to David and that went with him into this cave during the worst stages in his life were not perfect people. They were not people that had something to bring and something to contribute to the struggles of David. In fact, they were people that were burdensome just like him. That's interesting. But the message is clear. You see, just as the people who came to David were people with problems, I mean, they all have issues. The people for whom our Lord, who come to our Lord Jesus Christ, go to Mark chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Notice the typology that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ. The typology is almost perfect. Mark chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. The Bible says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with who? Publicans and sinners. They said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, the people that came to David were people who had issues. And I tell you today, church, the people in the church are not perfect. It's quite the opposite. The people who come to church and who come to Jesus Christ are people with issues. Amen? And before you get offended by that, you say, "Pastor, I don't have an issue." Let me say it over. I've said it before, and I will say it over and over again. The church is a spiritual hospital. It is not a place for those who think they have no need to be healed. It is a place for those who need healing and for those who are willing to help someone else heal. And there is one great physician, by the way, and the medicine is the Word of God. You are here today because you are either here to help someone heal, or you are here to be healed yourself, or both. The error is the expectation that, well, I went to that church and that church hurt me. I went to that church and that brother there hurt me and that sister there hurt me. Or that I saw that pastor there, he did this. And I saw that deacon there, he did this. And that. Oh. See, the problem is your expectation. Your expectation into coming to the church is that the church is full of perfect people. It's quite the opposite. Jesus Christ came for the sinners and for the publicans. The church is a place for people with problems and with issues. And if you come to church thinking that you're going to come across a bunch of holy molies, holy sister, holy brother, you are mistaken. When you come to church, you're going to come across and you're going to rub elbows and you're going to rub personalities. Amen? But don't forget that you are the same. And the reason why you found yourself, you drove yourself into the parking lot of a church is because deep inside you know that you too have an issue. You too have a problem. Ain't that right? Otherwise, if you don't have a problem in life, if you don't have any personal issues in your life, you will not be here. You would not come to Jesus Christ if your life is perfect. Jesus Christ says, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And I'll tell you, the worst thing about any sickness is not knowing and not acknowledging that you are sick. But Pastor, what do you mean? You're hurting me. I don't have issues. I have not met a Christian who does not have an issue. I have not met a Christian, whether it be a brother or a sister, who does not have personal issues. We all have personal issues. What do you think will happen if a person with a personal issue is mixed with 100 other people with personal issues? What's supposed to happen there? A church without problems? A church that is just all happy? Always happy? No. It will be a church of problems, a church of issues. But let me comfort you. There is a great physician. That's why we're here. That's really why we're here. That's the reason why you came to Jesus Christ. Because there was a point in your life that you came and acknowledged and realized that you have an issue. Teenagers, you listen to me, you have an issue. You're going to have to admit that. Your problem is not your parents. Your problem is not your classmates, not your teachers. Your first problem is you have an issue. And before I pick on the teenagers, grown-ups, you parents, you have issues too. Mom and dad, you have an issue. Ladies, you have an issue with another lady. You're jealous of how they look and the things that they have. Amen? Men, you have an issue. You're so insecure. You're not content. You know who came to David in that cave? The people that were discontented. That's you. The problem with most men, maybe even all men, is that we are discontented individuals. It's never enough for us. Amen? But isn't it amazing that they all came to David? And the Bible says in verse 2 that he became a captain over them. He became a captain over them. Now that is a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This captain, those of you that are in the military or in a paramilitary organization, this kind of captain, he's the kind of captain that doesn't burden you. Instead of giving you things to do and puts all this burden on you, he's the kind of captain that lifts up the burden from you. And while he's carrying that burden on his right shoulder, he carries the burden bearer, you, on his left shoulder. You imagine the kind of captain that we have? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Who is this captain? Oh, David became a captain of the distress. And that those that are in debt and those that are discontented. And Jesus Christ became a captain to the publicans and the sinners. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 and 10 says, "But when we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to do what? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." I'm thankful for my captain. Not my sheriff's department captain. She can be burdensome. Telling everybody what to do. Oh no, I'm not talking about that captain. I'm talking about my real captain. The one who I really answer to. That captain, I'm trying to carry this burden. He says, "No, I'll take that burden from you. As a matter of fact, I'm so strong, I'm so powerful, you're right on my other shoulder too." Amen? Remember the footsteps on the sand? Verse 3. Actually, we can just close right there. Amen? Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. You know, it amazes me about myself, maybe you too, how many of you have known these verses for at least 10 years now? Maybe 15 years now. These verses that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of you known those verses for so long? At least 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You have all known those verses, have you? Then what's the problem then? What's the problem then? Why can't you smile today? You see the problem? We forget. We forget who's really in charge. We forget that he's the burden bearer. I mean, he even carried the cross on his shoulder. He even carried our sin. I was going to continue, but let's stop right here. Have you been burdened lately? Is there anything that's distressing you? Is there something in your life that you know you can never repay? Is there a debt that you cannot pay? And you've been carrying that on your shoulder, you've been carrying that load, only to find out and figure out later on that, no, it's too heavy. Too heavy for you to deal with it. The problems, you can't really solve it on your own. With all your effort, all your might, all your strength, all your wit. How about you cast your burdens upon him, for he careth for you? We'll just stop right here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Many came to David in that cave. And they were not people that were perfect. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Have you come to Jesus Christ? You know, in order for you to come to Jesus Christ, you would first have to acknowledge. The Bible says, "For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." First, you would have to acknowledge that. Then you acknowledge the fact that you have issues. You acknowledge the fact that you have problems. Until then, you'll never come to him. You'll never feel the need of him until you realize that. As the piano plays, first, have you come to him? Second, have you casted all your burdens on him? The altar is open. Number 553, as we close, let's sing that song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Hymn number 553. 553. Sing verse 1. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. God's people say, amen, amen. Brother Raul, can you close us in prayer, please, Brother Raul?